I'm Mike.
And I'm Sue.
And this is Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue.
Hello. And welcome to the show that's all about families and relationships.
Now, have you recently been visited by someone from the other side?
Have you experienced the strange spiritual force you can't explain?
Then please don't write to us. We've got enough letters from nutters already. But our first topic tonight is crises.
Now, one of the worst crises one can ever have is when you're about 30, 35... 40.
You're driving along in a car, you feel good, you feel strong.
You turn on the stereo, flick round the dial, you hear a sound that does it for you.
You turn up the music, you dig it.
You think, I'm cool, I'm hip, I'm at my peak.
And then...
you hear this. Radio 2. You've been enjoying Radio 2 without knowing it.
In this single moment, your youth is snatched away and crushed in the hands of middle age.
Your whole life is basically over.
You know that it's only a matter of months before you begin to like things like roll mop herrings.
And you must remember to buy a plug-in air freshener.
And finally, you know that if you're ever asked onto blind date, it can only ever be as a novelty old person.
The Radio 2 moment.
Yes, indeed. Crises. Now, we're living in a world of modern mass media mania mayhem.
But in this modern world in which we live, is technology helping us to cope?
Or has it caused more crises than it's solved?
Hello, Jules Allslip speaking.
Hello, George.
Simon!
Got some info on the strategy for next week's presentation here.
Great. Can you post me a copy?
It's a bit urgent.
Well, fax it.
Well, it's a bit confidential, you see.
Well, there's always email.
A lot of hackers around, George. Can't be too careful.
Well, can you download it onto my personal files?
Not without running a virus check, mate.
Well, you could phone it onto my voicemail.
Take too long, pal.
Right. Look, here, I tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you pop next door to my office and hand it to me?
Good idea, Banya.
You're listening to Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue, and we're discussing crises.
In American comedy shows, a crisis is an opportunity for characters to gather round and lend a hand.
Hey, guys, I got bad news.
Oh.
I just wrecked my dad's Chevy.
Oh, no. Wow, bummer.
Gee, that's terrible.
Hey, do you want to borrow my car? No. I'm not using it this semester.
Yeah.
Hey, listen up. Why don't we all pool together and buy Biff a new Chevy?
Yeah, we could have a street party and sell hash browns.
I could work nights at the liquor store.
We could buy two cars.
Yeah.
Way to go, guys. You're the greatest.
Yeah.
In British media, this everyday crisis is treated quite differently.
Hi, everyone. I've got some really bad news. Smashed a car.
Well, you know why that is, don't you?
No, why?
Because you're a prat.
Hey, you didn't bang it into my car, did you? Because if you did, you're paying through the nose, mate.
No, God, you're a clumsy bloody idiot.
Yeah, what an idiot.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
We're discussing crises and the stress they cause.
And we've just been joined by our regular stress counsellor, Dr. Carlton O'Steinberger.
Hello, Mike, and hello, Sue. Now, today I want to explore how fear can be managed, because it's inside all of us, isn't it? And we can control it.
And Michael from Aintree is on the line, and you have a fear which is actually affecting your work.
That's right. I feel too scared to turn up sometimes. I'll break out in a cold sweat.
Doctor.
Right. Well, tell me, Michael, first of all, what do you do exactly?
I'm a bomb disposal expert.
Right. Okay. Now, Michael, I want you to think hard for me. Is there something about your work, some specific aspect of the job, perhaps, which may bring on this anxiety?
Yes, I think there is.
Mm-hmm. And do you know what it is?
I think It's the bombs.
Bombs, okay, the bombs. Right, well, thanks for that. I think we are getting somewhere here.
You managed to find the root cause of the fear already.
That's right. It's a technique I picked up in Vienna. Now, Michael, this may be hard, but just try to explain to us all why they frighten you so much.
The bombs?
The bombs, yes.
I think my fear has something to do with the way they go bang and kill you in an extremely horrible manner.
Okay, now, Michael, this is all down to a little thing that we call projection.
Not a little thing called the detonator, then.
No. You see, what I'm hearing, Michael, is that you've got yourself into a cycle of seeing the bomb as some kind of threat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, really, Michael, this is all because of a little boy who didn't get enough love from his mummy.
He plants the bombs, does he?
No. You, Michael.
Oh, so it's got nothing whatever to do with the large quantities of extremely volatile high explosives?
No. How naive. No, the bomb... The bomb you're really afraid of, Michael, is the one that's inside you, isn't it? It's ticking away inside there. And it hurts. It's hurting you, isn't it?
Well, it's ticking away in front of me.
Okay, Michael, okay. Well, I want you to touch that bomb now for me.
It'll go off.
Doctor, if I could just interrupt
you. This is a crucial stage in the process. Please.
Michael, now, just make that encounter, will you? Hug the fear and touch that bomb.
But the detonator's exposed. It'll go bang and I'll die.
Just take charge of the situation now. Empower yourself. You owe it to yourself, Michael.
Okay.
Well, now, this is a wonderful moment for Michael.
Michael?
Well, there'll be more from Dr. O. Steinberger next week.
Hello. I'm Mike.
And I'm Sue.
And this is Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue.
Now, many of you may be aware that today is 30 years since the BBC broadcast its very first variety show from the London Palladium.
And to mark the occasion, today's phone-in is all about the comedians of yesteryear.
We want to know your favourite comics from the old days. You know, Sue, I think my favourite was Reg Varney.
Ah, yes. On the buses.
Wonderful. The late... great Reg Varney.
I think, actually...
his cockney wit and his cheery laugh.
I think, Mike, he was...
Reg, Olive and the gang. All of you, butler. You know, so I think we'll all miss him.
Yes, well, let's move on. And already, actually, we have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. You're through to Mike and Sue. Hello.
Hello. Reg Varney here.
What?
Hello?
This is an amazing coincidence. You're called Reg Varney, and as you probably know, Reg Varney was also called Reg Varney.
I'm the Reg Varney.
Reg! Yes. Well, I hope you enjoyed our little joke.
Reg, do tell us about your favourite comics from yesteryear.
Oh, yeah, there were some great comics around in those days. Of course, my mentor was Kenny, the great Ken Dodd.
Ah, yes. The Ken Dodd. He was marvellous.
Aye?
I think one will always miss his silly laugh and the funny duster. We shall never see his like again.
Yes, well, goodness me, there's another caller on the line.
Hello, caller. You're through to Mike and Sue.
Hello, Ken Dodd here. What a beautiful day for being still alive. What a beautiful day for paying tribute to the great talent of Arthur Askey.
Oh, yes, good old Arthur Askey.
Yes, indeed. You know, I keep meaning to see Arthur on stage.
Mike!
Oh, he never seems to be on anywhere convenient. Ken, do you know when he's next doing Panto?
Sorry?
He's been dead 10 years.
Oh, fuck. Shouldn't there be a list of these bloody comedians? How's anyone supposed to keep track? I mean, you think they passed on, the next minute they turn up on Desert Island Discs. No one wisdom, Charlie Drake. I mean, are they or aren't they?
What a beautiful day for making a complete cock-up.
Look, drop dead, will you?
Tutty boy!
And now another episode of our cult drama serial, Albion Close.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
You seem a bit upset. Do you want to talk about it?
I'm worried about Dad. He seems a bit upset.
Yeah?
He's worried about Mum. She seems a bit upset.
Did she want to talk about it?
She's worried about Dad.
Oh, hello, Gran.
Here, you seem a bit upset.
It's Dawn. She seems a bit upset about Dad. He's a bit upset about Mum. She's a bit upset about Dad, who's upset.
Do you want to talk about it?
You seem a bit upset. Do you want to talk about it?
It's you. He says you're a bit upset about Dad, who's a bit upset about Mum, who seems upset.
Oh, hello, Dad.
You all seem a bit upset.
Do you want to talk about it?
Why am I a bit upset?
Hello.
Hello, Grandad. You seem a bit upset.
No, I'm not.
Oh. Do you want to talk about it?
No.
Are you gay?
No.
Do you want a cup of tea?
Well, if you're having one.
And there'll be more from Albion Close next week.
Coming next, our final topic.
Mike and Sue talk sex.
Sex. Sex. Sex, 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 sex.
We're going to talk frankly about sex.
So, if anyone is thinking about being shocked, you can't, because we just told you we're about to talk about sex, sex, sex. Frankly, about sex.
So there's just no way you can be surprised or shocked, okay?
Sex, of course, is only ever satisfying if it's part of a committed, long-term relationship.
Unless you're both a bit drunk and randy and want to get your rocks off.
But experts have established that the worst thing about sex is having to listen to other people doing it.
Right, I think I'll get some sleep, dear. Early start tomorrow.
I'm just going to get to the end of this article on freezers.
Oh? Well, could you shine the light a bit away from me then, please?
Okay, dear. Oh, I bought some marmalade this morning. It's in the cupboard.
Thank you, dear. Good night. Oh, no.
You won't be able to sleep for at least an hour.
An hour? Oh, bloody hell. I mean, why did it take so long? It's ridiculous. They only do it to show off.
I think an hour is about right.
What?
For a really exciting sexual experience, you know, allow for the build-up, the crescendo, the diminuendo.
Never mentioned this before, Margaret?
I'd never heard the Thompsons before.
Yeah.
Didn't realise a man was capable, you know, of keeping his drawbridge up for a whole hour. In fact, I seem to recall you telling me that 9 minutes was the world record.
Look, Thompson's considerably younger than me, and he doesn't have the stress of being joint manager at Prontoprint either. What's that?
I think they've changed positions.
Why?
It's another thing we don't do.
You never complained before. Oh, it's all gone quiet. What can he be doing?
Can't you guess? I think he's doing something else you never do.
Oh, well, why don't you just knock on the door and ask if you can join in?
Oh, Roland.
I'm very sorry, dear.
This couple are obviously disturbed by their neighbours. But how does one complain?
Experts suggest using a combination of tact and timing.
I say, Mr. Thompson.
Morning, Mr. Prendergast.
I just wanted to ask you something. It's a bit delicate, but we're all men, aren't we?
Yeah.
You see, I need my 8 hours. I have to be up early, you know. Prontoprint opens at 9, you see. As joint manager, I have to warm up the photocopiers first thing. Anyway, you and Candy, that is, your wife and you, together, well, you get my drift.
Oh, right, yeah, sure you mean, yeah. You've been kept awake by the banging.
No, it's the,
You mean the sex?
Oh,
yeah.
Right. well, thanks for being so understanding.
Yeah, well, you see, what it is, probably, right?
Well, isn't it a lovely day?
It's when we do the mongo, so we knock against the headboard, you see?
Right. Well, I suppose it's a case of, Do you need a hand with the head?
I take it you're a mongoose man yourself.
Well,
see, what we do, we do the mongoose, right? And we turn around and then we do the back alley shuffle, you see? That's probably what's keeping you up, Mr. Prendergast, because she's got her feet on a creaky floor.
Yes, right. Well, you could you, cut down a bit on the,
Back
alley shuffle. Mm. Yeah, well, it's Candy's favourite, isn't it? Candy's favourite. You do not know Candy.
No.
Oh, no. If I don't do the old shuffle, my life will not be worth living, Mr.
Look, I don't mean to get into specifics.
She would divorce me, Mr. Prendergast. Yes. Oh, yeah, no. I'm not going to cut out the shuffle. You're going to have to tell Candy yourself. If oi, Candy. Oi.
Prendergast wants to work.
Coming.
No, I really don't think this is necessary.
No. If we're keeping you up, I'm sure we can work something out.
Just wanted to make the general point.
Tell you what we'll do. We'll meet you halfway, as well. So I'll start with the mongoose, do a quick shuffle, and then spend a bit longer on the old peacock plunge.
The peacock?
What's going on?
All right, Kent. Do it, that, darling. We're going to do a quick mongoose in future. Short shuffle, long peacock plunge.
Now, hang on a minute. What has happened to my shuffle?
Look, all I came to say was the walls are extremely thin, that's all.
Mind you, Mr. Pete, we've never heard nothing at all from your ear.
Yes, well...
We listen out most nights.
Yeah.
You've been listening to me and Margaret not making love?
Look, mate, if there's anything you want to talk over into me...
How dare you interfere with what two people don't do in private? And stop listening to us not... doing anything, you perverts!
Sex and sexual problems.
One problem some men have is that they peak too early. We're now joined by sex therapist Dr. Miriam Butterworth. Now, Miriam, what can men do to help gain control?
Well, they have to learn to take control, or in layman's terms, they need to tame the snake.
Aha, I see.
Mm-hmm. Basically, they have to learn to think about something else.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but you see, I have this friend, and and he says he's tried thinking about cars and football and monetary union, and nothing works.
Right, well, what he needs to do is focus on the least sexy thing that he can.
He's done that, believe me.
No. The most unsexy thing in the entire universe, you know, the very, very opposite of sex.
You mean Rolf Harris?
Rolf Harris is good, or Margaret Beckett?
This friend has tried picturing both of them simultaneously.
Well, then, I suggest that the only thing to do is to actually keep a photograph of Rolf by his bedside. Now, when he gets the urge, he simply takes a quick look at the picture. There is actually a private clinic that supplies free photographs, but he would need a prescription.
He went to the clinic, got the photo, but it was no good.
Okay, so he needs to find something even less sexy than Rolf Harris.
Is that possible?
Paul Daniels. But that's only to be used in emergencies because it's actually so powerful it can affect one's ability to have children.
Yes, well, stick around, Doctor, because we'll be having more tips from you in a moment.
Now, we ask the question, what brings couples together?
What is the real nature of sexual attraction?
A wine, madam.
Thanks. So, what do you like about me? Why don't you name all the things?
Well, where to start?
My funny personality?
Well, yes. But that's not the particular thing that...
Is it my eyes? My smile?
Yeah.
My face? My body?
Yeah. But it's more specific than that, really. I tell you, what really turns me on is... It's really...
What?
It's your bottom.
Right. Yeah, thanks. What else?
What else? Well, that's it, really.
Just my bottom?
Well, you know, your buttocks, basically, yeah.
So you just like one thing about me, right?
Well, that's two things, really.
Nothing else?
Well, you're all right in other ways, But no, your bottom is by far and away the most important thing.
Then why the hell are we going out together?
Because I really, really love your bum. I mean, it's the best I've ever seen or felt.
You don't really care about me at all.
But
What do you like about me?
You really want to know?
Yeah.
Your wallet.
Fair enough.
My bum and your wallet.
Mm. Yep.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's enough to bind us together in a committed long-term relationship, possibly marriage?
Well, it's more than a lot of people have to go on.
That's true, true.
And now we move on to a sexual issue that some listeners may find offensive. It concerns penises. Now, many men worry about size.
It, you know, Sue, I find it hard to imagine what that must be like. No, it's something so removed from my own experience. Not that I wish to brag or boast, but I think the listeners should know that we do cover topics on this show that I have no experience of at all.
Okay, so now let's turn to our expert.
I mean, it's just not something that I've come across myself. That's all.
Dr. Miriam Butterworth. Now, you're a world expert on penises.
Yes.
Doctor, what advice would you give to a man concerned about size?
Well, the main thing is not to worry. Men come in all shapes and dimensions. Now, if I could just demonstrate, I'm going to pull out this tape measure. There. Now, that is roughly the same.
Good heavens!
Excuse me?
Are you suggesting some are as big as that?
I was going to say that is the average size of the...
Oh, that's very funny.
Excuse me?
Come on, that's ridiculous. That is a giant. Only a freak would have something like that.
This is not a wind-up.
But it's several inches long.
Mike, this is...
You mean, some men are really that enormous.
Actually, most are.
Good God!
But the main thing is not to worry.
What would you know about it? That the last tool you ever saw was a Black & Decker.
There's no need to get upset, Mike.
Well, it's nothing to worry about, really.
I'm not worried. I'm just doing this to reassure other men that...
And just think, Mike. I'm sure you'd want the listeners to know that you do have an extremely flashy and expensive new sports car.
Mm. Yes, that's true. Yes, it's a twin turbo, you know. Long, sleek leather interior. Lots of knobs.
Great. This is Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue, and we're talking about sex. Now, when a woman doesn't want...
Fuel injection, 16 valves. Goes like stink.
Now, when a woman doesn't want to go to bed with a man, she has a whole armory of good excuses. It's all happening too fast. I'm still not over Tarquin. I've got my period. I'd like to get to know someone first. You're an ugly sod.
But how do men cope with women who won't take no for an answer?
Right, here we are then. Thanks for the lift. Bye-bye.
Oh, nice place. Very romantic.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Well, thanks for driving me home then.
Oh, no trouble at all. Well, aren't you going to invite me in for a coffee?
No.
What's wrong?
Well, I have to be up early, see?
Oh, hey, that is a really nice T-shirt you're wearing. You know, it really shows off your physique.
All right, yeah, well, a terrible stain here and a fag mark, and the armpits are pretty disgusting. Look at that.
Mm. I love a man who sweats.
Can you smell him? Now? Oh.
Yes, it's a really sexy man smell.
All right. Well, you should smell my socks, though. They're killers.
Fantastic.
I never even take them off. Never, ever take them off.
Oh, I love a man who keeps his socks on. Especially those black, smelly ones. Ah, you little tease. Oh, your jeans, they're so flattering.
Oh, no.
You've got a really nice arse.
I don't know, that reminds me, actually, we've just had a curry, haven't we? It's going to be a breezy night, you know. We want to know.
I love your sense of humour. It's so boyish. Come over here.
Look, this is all a bit fast for me, really.
Oh, are you shy? Are you sure?
Yeah, I am incredibly shy. You're all fingers and thumbs. Me, I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't got a clue. I'm really useless.
Oh, inexperienced, eh?
Yeah.
I love shy, fumbly young lads.
Yeah, but Yeah, but you see, when I get going, I'm really extrovert, which is weird, isn't it, really? You know, I'm hard, mean, brutish.
I love that, too. Oh.
Yeah, of course you would. But I've got this very, very, very hairy back.
Hairy backs? Yeah. You are driving me wild.
Sod it. Look, Carol, I'm going to have to spit it out now.
What?
I don't have a penis. Don't have one. There, I said it now, haven't I? So, safe journey home, love.
Wow, I mean, that is, like, that's really different.
It is very different, yeah.
We could do all kinds of new and interesting things together.
Look, did you hear what I said? I don't have a todger.
That turns me on.
I'm a werewolf. Tonight's a full moon. Arr!
Kinky, yeah.
Oh, look, another thing, right? I'll tell you what, you've got a slight suggestion of facial hair on your upper lip.
Right. That's it. I'm leaving. Puff! Didn't fancy him anyway. One of the questions to which no one has found the answer is, what do women want from men?
I find it's generally a bottle of Chanel.
Women are attracted to different types of men. Little boy lost, Mr. Vulnerable, callous bastard, rich and powerful, Mr. Sensitive, strong and silent.
But the most popular by far is the vulnerable, rich, powerful, strong, silent, sensitive, callous bastard.
But one man claims he really has found the secret. Chris Jones, you provide a rather special professional service to women.
That's right, I pleasure women in a variety of ways. I do things that their partners would never dream of.
I suppose you start off with the old patter, turn on the charm?
No. I listen.
You listen?
Yeah, I say, tell me about your day. Don't leave anything out. I want to hear every single nuance of every single conversation you had. For many women, the experience of a man attentively listening to them is quite overwhelming.
Yes, I can believe it.
I run my hands through their hair and ask them why their hair looks so much better than all their friends' hair.
That sounds fantastic.
Then I go through their wardrobe saying what I like best and which things go well together.
Oh!
Sometimes I beg them to let me go clothes shopping with them.
But I understand that some women have more unusual requests.
Yes, indeed, Mike. One lady wanted me to be in her company for a whole evening from 6 till 10 without burping, farting, picking my nose or scratching my crotch.
What joy!
Presumably it was impossible.
I'm not Superman.
So, Chris, what else do you do?
What else? Well, let's see. I go around the house collecting all the coffee mugs and wash them up. I say things like, don't worry, I've bought your mother a birthday present from both of us. I've wrapped it and here's the card to sign. I often say, oh no, it's football on the telly again. Can't we turn over and watch EastEnders? And then I'll go to the loo and put the seat down afterwards.
I'm quite overcome.
Thank you, Chris Jones.
Are you free tonight?
I'm booked up for 9 years.
I could pay double.
Well, that's about all we have time for this week.
But there's just time for one of your faxes.
Yes, it's from Neville Fester of Staines. I was shocked and amazed that your programme was all about sex. I realise you broadcast a warning and said over and over and over and over again that it was going to be about sex, but I immediately forgot that you had. Because I'm stupid. I'm Mike.
And I'm Sue.
And this has been Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue.
Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue was written by Bill Dare. It starred Robert Duncan and Jan Ravens with Roger Blake, Alistair McGowan, Sally Phillips and Bill Dare. Music was by Mark Burton and the producer was Joe Clegg.